Our first feature today is being read by Robin Quine and is an excerpt from a book by Dick Meadows and the biggest hero he has met in 30 years of filmmaking.
The big man hunched his shoulders against the wind that was gusting from the sea. He blinked as the rain gathered strength and seemed to be studying his footprints in the wet sand. The wave took the quiet American a little by surprise, and he watched as the water washed away his footprints. It was as if the mark he had left on this place was somehow fading too. He was silent now. He knew he would never return. We walked slowly back up the beach at Hunstanton. In the dying light, he looked old and tired. Rhys Leeming was the bravest man I have ever met, and now age and ill health had crept across his slightly stooped body. 50 years earlier, that same body, young, fit and without fear, had saved 27 people from the East Coast floods, the worst peacetime disaster in the UK in the 20th century. Rhys had returned to Norfolk from the west coast of the United States for the first time in half a century to take part in The Longest Night. It was a BBC Two documentary that owed its existence to a newspaper tucked away in my drawer for years. It was hidden inside a booklet celebrating the Queen's coronation in 1953, the same year as the floods. The paper was ragged and smelled musty, as old papers do. I opened it carefully, nervous that it would disintegrate. It was a copy of the Eastern Daily Press, then a big broadsheet of a size you no longer see. The date was February the 1st, 1953, and the front page headline cried calamity, Norfolk gale disaster. It was a Monday edition, and only 24 hours after the East Coast floods had brought death in the January darkness to hundreds of people. The paper must have belonged to my parents, who had kept it as a reminder of such a momentous story. Stranger still was the idea of such a tragedy hidden inside the triumphant celebrations of the coronation 4 months later. But the good news of the coronation was drowned out by the waves of a catastrophe. And in 2002, it was a perfect illustration of how programme ideas take hold. The following year, 2003, would be the 50th anniversary of the East Coast floods. Hopefully, some of those who survived would still be alive. Picking up that faded, fragile paper was the day that The Longest Night was born. As the seas began to boil along the East Coast on that fateful January night in 1953, few of those in the storm's path had television sets. The radio still held sway. Not that TV or radio would have made much difference. It would be a terrible night. It would also be a night for heroes. One of those was Rhys Leeming. Hero is a word wildly overused. We salute sporting heroes, which is a label they can't possibly own and probably wouldn't wish to anyway. Heroism is characterised by courage and bravery. On that night, Rhys and countless others, some remembered, some not, were heroes. The storm had started in the Atlantic, then a high tide and a weather front that deepened so quickly that the meteorological bars on the charts could hardly be separated, sent the piled-up waters racing down the North Sea. At 4 p.m, the Lincolnshire coast was the first to be overwhelmed. By 6 p.m, communities of wooden seafront houses in northwest Norfolk were being swallowed by the sea. At 8 p.m, it was Yarmouth and Gulston's turn. the tempest saved its worst for last. Canvey Island in Essex was utterly overwhelmed with the loss of 58 lives. In a 21st century characterised by instant communications, mobile phones, tablets, laptops and social media, imagine an unstoppable catastrophe about to strike of which you have no warning. That was what happened on January the 31st, 1953. The only warning was a sudden wall of water. Most affecting during our filming with survivors all along the northern coastline was the clarity of their recollections and how these memories still inspired terror half a century later. Back then, they were all young, and all the evidence is that as you grow older, your emotions reach closer to the surface. In 30 years of filmmaking, I have never encountered so many tears in the telling of stories of life and death. One story will stand for them all, the story of Rhys Lemming. He had arrived in 1952 to serve with the 67th Air Sea Rescue Squadron, based at Scunthorpe. He was 22 years old. It is an unforgettable irony that the man trained to rescue pilots from the sea would instead save civilians from a land invaded by the sea. He was one of thousands of Americans stationed in Norfolk. Many of them lived off base. One such community straggled along South Beach Road in Hunstanton, living in wooden shoreline chalets. They were cheap to rent. When the tempest struck, they were simply swamped. Arriving from Scunthorpe, Rhys and his fellow Americans were appalled. In complete darkness and amid raging deep water whipped by hurricane-force winds, it was as if the sea had gone mad. Rhys had a small rubber life craft, but soon found himself completely alone. As Rhys described the next few hours, I listened, awestruck, at the heroism of a straightforward man who admitted he was not a follower, but a leader. He spoke quietly, without a trace of cleverness. The brave have no need to boast. It was a nightmare. I was scared to death. I was soaked, freezing, frightened, and worst of all, I could hear the cries of people trapped and dying, and I could not help them. I think by then I was pretty much resigned to my fate, that I was not going to survive. For 5 hours in total darkness and confusion, with water up to his neck and the winds raging around him, he made repeated trips. He saved the lives of 27 men, women and children. All would have died without him. 31 others, 16 of them American, did drown along that single short stretch of road. Perhaps most tragically of all, an entire family of six. For a man whose memory remained so strong, it was here that his memory deserted him. He could not remember collapsing with severe hypothermia and needing heart massage to revive him. His back had been weakened by dragging the boat filled with survivors through the swirling waters. When we met 50 years later, his health was declining, his back plagued by pain. Most poignantly of all, Rhys was a little embarrassed by his bravery and still troubled by the loneliness of it all. Rhys Lemming was awarded the George Medal. He was the first ever American to receive it. If you turn your eyes upwards and inland from South Beach Road in Hunstanton, you can see the cemetery on the rise. Overlooking the sea that swallowed them lie some of those who no one could help that night. For Rhys Lemming, it was journey's end after these 50 years. We walked slowly together to film among the tombs of this tiny town of the dead. The sun was falling fast now into the sea beyond, and the twilight was beginning to shade the graves as Rhys moved slowly along their ranks. It is sometimes said that love's last gift is remembrance. The hero of Hunstanton had returned to remember one last time. It was as if a circle a half a century long had finally been closed. Rhys died in 2012, one day short of his 82nd birthday.